Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We've been talking about the Spirit-filled life and how does a Spirit-filled believer function in the body of Christ? How does a Spirit-filled believer look? What does he look like? And when you look at somebody, are they functioning as God wills for them to do? And are they performing the things that God wants them to perform? He is watching over his word to perform it in you. But are you participating to the best of your ability, making the most of your walk with the Lord? And that's what we're going to look at today. And so we're going to be talking about your participation in the fellowship and your desire to be in the fellowship of the body of Christ. And beloved, let me just say at the outset here that if you have no desire to be in the fellowship, there's something wrong with your Christian walk. You should have a desire to be in a fellowship. You should have a desire to be with other believers. When people become fans of the Broncos or fans of the Chiefs, they want to go to the stadium, they want to go to the cookout, the pregame parties, and that is just part of their desire to be a fan, a fanatic. That is just part of it. And so if you have a desire to be with Jesus, if you really truly love the Lord Jesus and you truly want to walk with him, then you have to have a desire to be in the fellowship. And if you don't have a desire, then you have a skewed concept of what the body of Christ is. You have a skewed concept of what your place in the body of Christ is. And many people are deceived. They think the church is just being out in nature. They think the church is being on the golf course or at the fishing hole or at the lake. And they don't have any concept of the church and the fellowship as being the body of Christ. And so God wants you to have a true concept. He wants you to understand what his desire is for you, that you are saved to do good works, that you are saved to be equipped to go out there and do good works. And so you have to be in the fellowship. That is God's will for you. And if you're listening to me today, I thank God that you're listening to the radio broadcast. I praise the Lord for that. But I also praise the Lord for the fact that his word teaches us the truth about his body, about the fellowship. And I pray that you would listen with an open heart and with an open mind and receive what God has for you today, so that you would then be able to go into the fellowship. If you're not part of a functioning body of Christ, you would be able to go in and you would be able to function and take up your part in the body of Christ just as God would call you to do. Well, Hebrews 10:25 here is a commandment from the Lord. And so you don't just have to take my word for it. This is a commandment from the Lord through the Apostle Paul, the writer of Hebrews. And he says, "Do not forsake the gathering or the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhort one another," or encourage one another, "and so much more as you see the day," or the end day, "approaching." Let me read that again. It is very powerful. "Do not forsake the gathering or the assembling of the saints together, as is the manner of some, but exhort one another, and so much more as you see the end day," or the day, "approaching." Well, we know it is the manner of some, not just some, but many. Many have not taken up their place in the body of Christ and been in the fellowship, and we see church attendance continue to decline all across America. We see church attendance in Europe down to 5 and 10% levels of the people in Europe, and we see empty churches all over Europe that are now being taken up by the Muslims, and they're being converted into mosques. And so that is not God's will. That is God's will that the churches be full, that they be vibrant, that there be people in there day and night praying and exhorting and encouraging one another and assembling together to equip one another. And so that is God's will. And I pray, beloved, if you're not in a fellowship, that you would get down on your knees and ask the Lord to give you the strength to walk in there, to lay down your pride, and give you the strength to walk in a fellowship, to be a part of the body of Christ, to pick up your cross and carry it daily. And I believe, beloved, God has a place for you. I know he has a place for you. And so you have to find that place. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the glory of man to search it out. And so you have to search it out. You have to start to seek the Lord and investigate what is your place in the body of Christ, what he wants you to do. And as you do that, as you seek it out, God will open doors for you. He will strengthen your walk. He will encourage you with other believers. That is his divine will. And I pray that if you are not part of the fellowship today, again, that you would get down on your knees and just pray about what it is God would have you to do, that he would lead you to a good fellowship. He would lead you to the right church, a Bible-believing and a Bible-preaching church, and he would lead you there, and he would encourage you and give you the peace to know that you're doing the right thing. You are not to forsake the assembling. And we know, again, that many people have forsaken the assembling. They get mad at the church. They get mad at the pastor or somebody in the church, and they start pointing fingers, and they say, "You hypocrite." They can't forgive any little offense that comes against them. They can't forgive it. And so they forsake the assembling, and they get isolated out there. And whatever the devil uses to keep them isolated, then it becomes more entrenched. It becomes more of a lifestyle and a habit and a pattern in their life. And so it becomes even more difficult for them to go back into the fellowship. Then pride takes hold, and they start to say, "Well, I don't need the fellowship. I don't need to be with other believers." And pride, once it takes hold, then it becomes a stronghold, and they become arrogant, they become proud and boastful about how self-reliant and self-sufficient they are. And if this describes you, pray that God would open up your ears to hear this message today. I pray that God would open up your eyes to see the truth of his word, that he wants you to be in the fellowship, gathering with the saints, and for the reasons that I'm going to outline here in just a minute, and that he wants you to be blessed with your walk with the saints in the fellowship, the body of Christ, here on this earth. Well, first of all, the fellowship is important so that we can pray for each other. We can see each other, we can look each other in the eye, and we can ask each other questions and know what is going on in each other's lives, and we can pray for each other and lift each other up when we go through all types of trials and all types of difficult circumstances, sickness and divorce and financial breakdown and all types of difficulties. Life is just a series of difficulties, but when you are in the body of Christ, you have people that will link arms with you. They will come alongside you. They will stand with you arm in arm, hand in hand, and they will then give you strength to stand up against those difficulties and be a conqueror, be victorious. And so that is the first thing that I'm going to talk about, is the blessings of being prayed for by others that are in the body of Christ. And I'm going to turn to James chapter 5, verse 13. Verse 13, "Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any among you cheerful? Let him sing praises," or let him sing psalms. "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Well, there's so much in here. I'm going to go back and dissect it just a little bit, but there's so much in here that is so powerful and so encouraging to us. When you get sick, and I believe, beloved, that just about everybody gets sick. There's no shame in getting sick. There's a blessing in sometimes there's a blessing in being sick, because it draws us closer to the Lord. It forces us to realize that we are not dependent on ourselves, that we are not self-sufficient and not self-dependent, that we are dependent on the Lord. And so when you get sick, or if you get sick, it is important that you go to the elders of the church. And this passage of Scripture implies that you are in a body of believers, because you go to the elders of the church, those men that God has appointed to be elders of the church. He has also appointed to be his authority over those in the church. He has appointed those to be in authority and to transmit his power, you might say. The power isn't necessarily in the elders. The power comes from the Lord Jesus to heal The power comes from the Lord Jesus to bless the people that submit to the elders and submit to their leadership. And so God gives a prescription here for those who are sick to go to the elders. And this is a prescription not written by a human doctor, not written by a human clinic, but a prescription from the Lord God Almighty, when you get sick, to go to the elders of the church. And this is so powerful, because if there is any among you that are sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And there's no magic in the oil. The oil just represents the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the elders, the anointing, the place, the position of authority that God has placed them in. And then in verse 15, here comes the answer, here comes the blessing. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Not speaking necessarily here about salvation, but save them from their sickness. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And so this implies that sometimes sickness is a result of sin. And we know that to be true. Sometimes sickness is a result of drug addiction or alcohol addiction or maybe smoking cigarettes or maybe just a wayward, careless lifestyle. Many times sickness comes from that. And so the Lord here says that if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And so if you have committed sins, when you go to the elders, you ask the Lord to forgive you. You ask them then to pray for you, to anoint you with oil, and to pray for you. And then James goes on to say, confess your trespasses one to another. In other words, confess your sins one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, he's not talking about a perfect man. No elder is a perfect man. But he's talking about a man who has committed his life to the Lord and is living in a righteous manner. And so God has raised this man up. And if it's a good church, he's raised up a good man here to stand in the position of elder. And he says, then the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Or in other words, it accomplishes much. I've been to the elders several times to have them pray over me when I have sickness. It's a answer to a commandment here from the Lord. The Lord says to do this, and so I do it out of obedience. I do it out of humility, that I humble myself and I go and I do that rather than go to the doctor. Or maybe in addition to going to the doctor, it's not necessarily wrong to go to the doctor, but when you go to the elders and you submit to them, you're submitting to the Lord, you're submitting to his commandment, you're submitting to these men that he has placed in authority over you in the body of Christ. And again, it's an implication that you're in the body of Christ, because if you're not, you don't have any elders sitting over you, in authority over you. And so that is the first reason that it is good to be in the body of Christ. It is good to be in the fellowship. It's because then we can receive the effective prayers of a righteous man. The second thing that is a blessing of being in the fellowship is for encouragement. We need to encourage each other. And Hebrews 10:24 gives us a glimpse of what that means. 10:24 says, let us consider or encourage one another in order to stir up love and good works. And so we go to the fellowship. We are in the fellowship to encourage or exhort one another to love and good works. Beloved, I don't know of anybody, hardly anybody, outside the fellowship who has gone on mission trips and gone to do some great and mighty exploits for the Lord. I don't know anybody out there living alone outside the fellowship, isolated from the body of Christ, that has done any great and mighty exploits, any great works for the Lord. And so Paul says here that we can encourage or consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I am encouraged when I see the Mexico mission group get together and go to Mexico and build a house for poor people there in Mexico. I'm encouraged when I meet missionaries that come to the body of Christ place and give their report and let us know what's going on in their corner of the world and what's happening with the body of Christ in their country and in their corner of the world. I am encouraged and I am stirred up to love and to do good works when I hear the reports and the testimonies of what other believers are doing in far off places. And so you too will be encouraged. You will be stirred up to love. And beloved, you cannot minister to people unless you love them. You can't go in the prison and minister to people unless you love those men unconditionally, unless you've forgiven them unconditionally. You can't go to any foreign country and minister to those people if you have any twinge of racism or any twinge of prejudice about you. You have to give all that stuff up, and you have to love people with the unconditional agape love of Jesus Christ. And if you do that, then God will open up doors for you to go to minister with the love that He has in His heart. And He will stir up your love, and He will stir you up for good works. You're saved for good works. We're all saved for good works. And I ask you today, take inventory of your good works. Take an inventory of your fruits. And what do your fruits look like in the body of Christ? Have you done anything, really? Have you done any good works in the body of Christ that would make people believe that you are a soldier in the body of Christ? Have you done anything that would give you testimony that you're working hard for the body of Christ to see the kingdom of heaven expand? Have you done anything? And if you haven't, probably, maybe, one of the main reasons is because you're not in the body of Christ and nobody is encouraging you to do those kinds of things. You have fear, you have procrastination, you have reluctance, maybe you have sin in your life that's unconfessed and you don't even want to give up that sin. And so all of these things then prevent you and hold you back from moving forward in the body of Christ and moving forward into the good works that God has for you. And so we're in the body of Christ to be encouraged by one another. When you see somebody in the body of Christ doing something great for the kingdom, then you want to get out there and do your part as well. And so we encourage each other just by seeing each other, by talking with each other, by hearing testimonies, by hearing the reports. And so encouragement is a hallmark of the fellowship. It's one of the main reasons why we need to be in a fellowship. So we have prayer, we have encouragement, and then we have equipping, which is also very important. And the main and primary reasons for being in a fellowship is for the equipping of the saints. I'm going to refer to a passage of scripture in Ephesians 4, and it talks about the office gifts of the body of Christ, the office gifts which Jesus distributed. And Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, He, Jesus, gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. And so God has appointed men and women to be equipped, and God has appointed teachers and pastors and apostles and evangelists and prophets. He has appointed these people into the office gifts of the body of Christ. And He has done this so that the rank and file, you might say, so that the soldiers in the body of Christ can be equipped to go out there and fight the battle and to do the good works that God has called us to do. If you were on a professional football team and you went out onto the field to play the game and you had had no training and no time in the film room and no time against the scout team and you were totally unprepared, you would get slaughtered out there. You would get hammered into the ground and you would not win the game. And so it is God's will that we be trained, that we be equipped, that we be ready to fight the battle, and that we know what we're doing when we step out on the field, and that we're not out there just as a target, a bullseye for the enemy with no defense. And it is God's will, because He wants us to be victorious. It is His plan for the body of Christ to be victorious. It is His plan for you to be victorious. And so we are to be equipped before we go into the battle. We are to be trained up, just like a highly trained warrior in the Green Berets or in the Navy SEALs. We are to be trained up before we go into battle, and so we're not just a sitting duck for the enemy. And so it says in verse 12, Ephesians 4, for the equipping of the saints for the work service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fit and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Well, that's a lot of words, that's a lot of ideas, and it's a typical Paulism, I call it. Paul sometimes lays many concepts together, and you can't hardly digest it all, but what he is saying is this. God wants the body of Christ here to be built up, and every joint, that is you, that is me, every joint, every person in the body of Christ, He wants us to function in the body of Christ, and that we all fit together. It's just like a well-oiled machine. It's just like a body, like your body. Your joints all work together, or most of them do. That is God's will, that everything work together, and your knee joint and your ankle joint and your hip joint all work together when you walk down the road, and your shoulder joint, your elbow joint, your wrist joint all work together when you pick up a heavy load. And that is God's will, that is His plan for the body of Christ, that we all work together for the building up in love of the body of Christ, and that we are fit together in such a way that when we go into battle, there's communication, there's coordination, there's cooperation, there's reconciliation. And so just as the body is able to accomplish a task, to go out and garden or to carry heavy loads or to chop wood, whatever it is you want to do, so also the body of Christ, when it goes into battle and it goes out there to conquer the enemy, the devil, here on this earth, it is well oiled, it is functioning together, and it is built up, and it is built up to build up that which God desires. It is functioning at the optimum level to take on the devil and the schemes of the devil. And beloved, if you've ever seen a church that is operating that way, it is a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing to see the body of Christ come together in the unity of faith. And even beyond that, to see several churches or many churches come together in the unity of faith, to believe together, to stand together, to defeat the enemy in their community or in their city. And when I go into cities in Africa to preach crusades, I have many, many pastors that come together with me. And when we did the crusade in Kibera, the big slum in Nairobi, in 2011, we had 35 pastors there from different churches in Nairobi that came together to support the crusade and to follow up on the people who made salvation decisions, or follow up on the people who wanted to be baptized. And so this is God's will, that the unity of the faith come out of cooperation and reconciliation and coordination between all the different facets of the body of Christ, all the different churches, that people believe that there is a common mission, there is a common goal. And so this is God's will for the body of Christ, and it is God's will for you to be a part of that. When you are isolated out there by yourself and you're not part of a fellowship, it is very easy for Satan to deceive you. Paul talks about in verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. And so the devil will try to trick you. He'll try to trick you. He'll get you believing things that aren't really true, that there's no truth in them. He'll get you to believe that the church is really just sitting out in the forest and the trees are the church, or the rocks are the church. He'll have you believing all kinds of things that aren't true. And so it is God's will that you're not deceived by the trickery of men or by the trickery of the devil, the cunning deceiver. who will try to trick you and to get you to either leave the fellowship or stay out of the fellowship, or to point fingers at the fellowship and say, oh, I don't want to join those hypocrites down there, and I don't want to be a part of that. And so it's God's will that you be equipped to do every good work that He calls you to do, and He has designed and He has set up the fellowship of the body of Christ in order to accomplish that goal. Well, beloved, I hope you go into a fellowship. I hope you're in a Bible-believing church. If you're not, again, pray about how the Lord would send you into a church. Pray about a good church and have Him direct you to it, and you will be blessed, and you will accomplish for the kingdom that which God has for you to accomplish. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite you to support us. As you hear me today, we're in Africa preaching crusades and working at the orphanage site. And so if you contact us, let me know your email, and I can keep you updated on the Africa mission through my email newsletters. And so my desire is for you to support us, sit down and write out a check, and let us know that you appreciate these broadcasts. Let us know that you are listening. And as you do that, it will encourage us, and we can continue to bring these broadcasts to you. Stay tuned for contact information coming up here in just a moment. And thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week, and have a great week.